Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Release in this season of the Holy Spirit into our lives and into his church. And one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit in Scripture is water. And without water, there is no life. You remember I brought in that, I forgot it this morning, that very pretty little child's kind of watering can, and how actually the Holy Spirit is necessary to be poured out, to be released, if we're to see God at work in our lives. We need the Word. The Word is God. We need both the seed and the water. We need the Word and the Spirit. And the combination of the two bring the activity of God in our lives. And I'm sure every one of us here can sit here in reality and say we all need God on a daily basis. We need God to work on a daily basis. And so we need fresh water. And we saw last week that honor, this treating God as significant. The word honor means to treat as significant. Honor releases life. It releases the Holy Spirit or the activity of God. And therefore, this kind of subject of honor is what we're looking at the moment. We're needing to see afresh how honoring God and honoring God's presence actually releases the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you are dishonored. I have been in places where I have been dishonored. Ignored is another way of dishonoring somebody. Have you ever been talking to somebody and they suddenly find somebody more interesting to talk to? And they actually divert from you and say, oh, hello. And it's actually that diversion is a dishonor, because you're not honoring the person you're talking to. And so I believe that honor is a key that releases life. This happens. One of the Ten Commandments is about honor. Honor your father and mother, that it will go well with you and you'll have long life. So if you honor your parents, it means life is going to go well for you. So it releases life. It releases longevity of life. So you can shorten your life through dishonor. Could, you know, are we awake this morning? I know we're coming into preaching now, but speaking the word. But you can shorten, I mean, for me, that is an incredible statement. It can shorten your life to dishonor. But to be a person of honor, who honors God and honors God's anointed, then it releases life to you. This isn't talking about us receiving honor. It's talking about giving honor. It's very important that it's not about receiving for yourself. It's giving honor. Now let's turn to the scripture we looked at last week, and we'll begin there. And there's quite a few scriptures to look at today. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Jesus has just been baptized and received the Holy Spirit, and he returns to Galilee in verse 14 in the power of the Spirit. News about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everywhere they praised him. And in verse 16, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at his gracious words that came from his lips, and said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. And Jesus said to them, "Surely you'll quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Do here in your hometown what we've heard you did in Capernaum. And I'll tell you the truth that no prophet is accepted in his hometown. And then he goes on to speak about in the time of famine in Israel, the prophet didn't go to the people of Israel. He went outside with the anointing. And in the time of Naaman, who had leprosy, people in Israel weren't healed because they wouldn't receive the prophet. And the prophet then had to go outside to a place where he would be received. And he was speaking, Jesus was speaking about Elijah. So Jesus has the solution for everyone in his hometown because he has the anointing that makes the change and the difference to life, to every situation. But Jesus didn't look any different to the 30 years they'd known him. He wasn't floating 3 feet off the ground when he stood up to read the word. He wasn't frothing or lying down and shaking. He stood up to read the word. So there was no manifestation. There's no sign for people to say, this guy is different. He looked the same. And that's the amazing thing about Jesus, is that when he became, when the Son of God became man, when God became man, he took on the form of a human being. He looked ordinary. He was found in appearance just like a man. And so there was nothing visibly different about Jesus. But when he spoke that day in the synagogue, the words he spoke carried grace and power to all the hearers. Everybody in the synagogue experienced the life-giving word. It was wow. There's something different about what he is saying. It's carrying something that when you stood up last week and spoke the same scripture, it isn't the same. Because there is an anointing on what is happening. Why? Because Jesus was filled with the Spirit speaking the word. So we have a moment in time for Nazareth to be known for miracles. It was their time. Jesus went to his own. He didn't avoid his family. He didn't avoid the people he grew up with. He went to them. And it was their choice whether they received him. And Jesus basically said, if you don't receive me, you actually don't receive the gift. You're not able to receive the anointing on my life if you can't accept the package that God has put the anointing in. So for every believer in this room, God has your body as the package for the anointing. Packaged up in you is treasure. In you is the Holy Spirit. For all who have believed and received Jesus, you now are carriers of what everybody needs. Amen. Do we have any believers? We believe the truth, don't we? Jesus said when the Spirit comes, he won't just remain on you, he will live in you. He will dwell in you. And so for the lack of accepting Jesus, Nazareth bypassed their opportunity for signs and wonders. And Jesus even went further in Mark chapter 6. He said, a prophet is where he's without honor, there will be little faith. He connected a lack of honor with a lack of faith and then no miracles. He couldn't do many miracles in Nazareth because it began with a lack of honor. They began to question him. Didn't we grow up with him? Don't you remember we went to school together? We all sat and studied the Torah together. We all discussed with the teachers together. He went up to Jerusalem with his parents. We were on the same trip to that conference. We were all in the same boat. Who does he think he is? Saying that he's got an anointing that actually means that he is set apart different to us. And they were offended at him. Because he declared that day the anointing was there. The gift among us is the one we need to treat with honor. The person next to you is the one to treat with honor. Because if you honor them, life will flow to you. It's good preaching. Well, it's the word of God. If you accept the package as God is in that person, and I want to receive from the anointing on their life, then you will receive from God. But they had what I call a diminishing spirit, and I hate that spirit. I hate that. It just pulls people down. It just makes people less than. And just because you're feeling not so good today doesn't mean you've got to pull everybody down with you. Or box everybody into your experience. Or box everybody into what you think we can do. Don't judge me by what you knew of me. Judge me by the anointing of the Holy Spirit who lives in me. And so a diminishing spirit is always on the prowl to tear down and to bring people down, size them and devalue them. To devalue, they began to devalue Jesus because they began to get a little bit jealous of what he was doing and who he declared he was. And jealousy is the first step to stopping miracles, the flow of miracles. Honor releases the spirit. Somebody once said recently, the church is quite anemic in honor. What does that mean? It means that actually we're lacking in honor. And if we catch this, really what the spirit is saying about honor, we will see a release of the activity of God. If I will honor you and you will honor me, we'll have a move of God. But they didn't accept him. Now in John chapter 1, let's just turn there. Another big thing that we need to learn is that this self-effacing thing, you know, it's only me and it's only you. And if it's only me and you, we may as well go home. Because if it is only you and me, we're just having a club. This is a society. This isn't the church of the living God, where God dwells. And there is this, well, you know, I know God says I'm anointed, but it's only me. Get over it. Honor the anointing that dwells in you. And you will see a release of the giftings that God wants to pull out of your life. It's like we've got to go panning for gold. You know, when people pan for gold, they don't try and find the stones. They're looking for that precious material. And it's like we've got to go beyond the stuff that actually doesn't do us any good and find the gold. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe we need to find the gold in our own lives, find the anointing, find and honor the Holy Spirit in us to treat as significant the one who dwells within us. You see, God, yes, he is seated on his throne. His son sits at his right hand. But God, the Holy Spirit, He is the only person of the Trinity that's on earth today. Everybody here? Because God the Father and the Son are in heaven. Is that? And the only person of the Trinity that's here is the Holy Spirit. Or the Spirit of Christ. And He now dwells in us. And wants to flow through us as rivers of living water. And if Anna is going to release the flow, then Anna is going to need to come into our language, our culture, the way we think, and the things that we do, so that we honor God in us. In John chapter 1, verse 10, it says, He was in the world. And though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. So we read that in Nazareth, they didn't receive Him. His own didn't receive Him. But then there's this wonderful scripture. It says here, yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. So Jesus, He actually honors us with His presence when we receive Him. To all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. That is a great honor. To actually be a child of God is an honor. It is an honor to say God is my Father. It's an honor to say I'm in the family of God. Today we honor mothers, but we need to honor the Father of all creation. And it's an honor to say when I pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. So we need to see this restoration of honor. Honor means to treat as significant. So to treat Him as significant. To speak well of. If you honor someone, you speak well of them. In public and in private. Because God sees both the public and the private. It's one of those things that you can never get away with, and that is doing something in the dark. Because there is one that sees what's in the dark. And so to speak well of, to honor somebody, means you honor them to their face and behind their back. Which means you are an honorable person. But to do one thing and another later is a hypocrite. Isn't that what we call a hypocrite? We honor somebody to their face. We walk away and say, well, I don't know, have you seen them? We do what these guys did in Nazareth. Well, you know, I know where they're from. There's not much there. There's not much going. You're just diminishing spirit, just pulling down. And honor needs to be part of our kind of automatic way of life where we speak well of brothers and sisters. We speak well of ourselves. Because of the presence of the Lord in us. 1 Corinthians 6, like I said, we've got lots of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 19. You see, I believe that honor is so important to God. To honor God means that you are living out of a conviction of what's right. Do you know we need to be men and women of conviction? And by the way, it's not conviction of what you think is right. This is the code of honor. For God's honorable people, here's the code of honor. The word of God. And To be men and women of conviction means I will do that and I won't do that. I will go there and I definitely won't go there. I will say that and I won't say that. But we are living in a time where actually honor is not portrayed even in family life. Where our kids don't see a husband honor their wives and wives honoring their husbands. Where they don't see it in schools, where you honor those who are leading you, your teachers. And so the culture we're living in, we must have a revival of honor to see a move of God. And in this culture, everybody's living with preference, not conviction. What is preference? Yes, I believe that what God says is that. But if I don't feel like it, I won't. Did you catch that? I believe that I'm called to worship God first and foremost, that He is number one. But if I want to do something else, I will. That is preference. And I believe we need men and women of God in this day who will turn the world upside down because they understand God first. And they have this conviction of what is right. And we all are working through this process of God dealing with us and working in our lives. I suppose I thank God really that the way I was brought up really helps me today live as a Christian. I was brought up with boundaries. And okay, I always kicked the traces until I got born again. Because when you're born again, you actually have power to do the will of God. That's the difference. Before you're saved, you don't have any power. But boundaries are still good in the unsaved situation. And it really brings the whole family life into a place of order. And so I kind of knew what was right. I knew that if an old person walked in the room and somebody was talking, an old person walked in the room, you stood up and you gave them your seat. I knew that that was the right thing to do. I knew that there needed to be a respect for elders, for people, for property. If I use something, by the way, I used something this weekend that belonged to somebody else, and I broke it. I mean, I felt awful. I mean, it's only a few quid, but you know, not expensive. But what will a person of honor, and I'm not telling you how great I am, but I knew I needed to replace it. That meant I had to buy six, because there were six in a set. I was a bit fed up. I thought, give me the other five. I'm sure I'll be able to use them. But we give back what we've used in the right condition. This school are honored by us. Why? Because we give the school back in better condition than when we come in. There's a lot of improvement to go. But we do the honorable thing. We don't come in, leave a mess, and go. Thank you, Jesus. But we're not living with those convictions, those kind of real society-building things that establish things in truth. And so when truth isn't established, everything is chaotic. And God wants through truth of His word to restore a culture of honor in family life, in church life, in working life. Don't bad mouth your boss. Don't tear him down or her down. God sees. And if you honor somebody else, God promises to honor you. Now, that's moving on. Verse 16 of chapter 6. This is all The word of God, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Wow. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You see, when the Word became flesh, Jesus dwelt among us. It actually means the word tabernacled. God tabernacled in human form. The presence of God came in Jesus. Now the presence of God comes in you wherever you go. Wherever you go, God is. He doesn't say, I'm leaving, but you can grieve him. But wherever you go, the Holy Spirit goes. And so it is a dishonorable thing to treat your body as a place as though God doesn't live there. Is that? So we have people, believers, that honor what they do physically, particularly speaking this reference sexually, that you honor the Lord who is Lord of the temple. You see, God has not come to live in us just for our benefit. He's come to be Lord. He is Lord of the temple. Which is why there needs to be a restoration of honor in the temple. Because if God is living in me, then we are not equals, God and me. It's not a shared partnership. He is by far the senior partner. He is by far the greater one in the temple. He is the one who actually is the one to be honored, not me. And so when we see this restoration of honor, I believe we need to see that God first needs to be honored in us. Because if we'll begin to honor, raise the game in our acknowledgement that God lives in me, then the release of the Holy Spirit is going to come. Treat God as less than as those people did on the day in Nazareth. Well, you're just like me, God. You and me are just mates. We're not. We're not. Yes, it's one of the privileges of the outworking of our relationship with the living God is that he calls us friends when we do what he says. You know, the friendship is even based on doing what he says. You are my friends if you do what I say. And so this acknowledgement of Jesus in the temple, I believe we need to be restored. I need to see a restoration in my personal life of acknowledging the presence of God now. That God is here now. And that I value and honor his presence in me. I grew up a little story here. I grew up in Africa, in Zimbabwe. And my mum and dad used to go to the local C of E. It was a big, grand place in Salisbury. Well, it's Harare now. And they used to go and worship there, and, you know, I think there was some life there. There were some real believers there. And the vicar one day called round to see my mum, knocked at the door. And my brother, I don't think he could be more than 6 or 7. My mum said, go and answer the door. So he went to the door, opened the door, and saw that the vicar was there. He left the vicar at the door, went back into the house, and my mum said, who is it? Oh, he said, God's here. Because in his childlike mind, God was. Now, theologically, you can prove that. If he was a believer, God was there. But not in the clergy robes. In the human heart or spirit of someone who is born again. And so my little brother had a revelation that day, without knowing it, that God was there. And yet he could have gone back to his mum and said, well, God's here too. And there we have the honour of the one who was chosen to humble himself and make us his dwelling place. What an amazing privilege that he should be so humble. That's why he says, learn of me. I am gentle and humble in heart. You see, humility comes before honor. If you're going to honor someone, you can't be proud. You've got to be humble to give honor and to give the right place to God and to what he says is honorable. 1 Samuel 2:30, God says, I will honor those who honor me. I will honor those who honor me. So God doesn't just say, honor me. He says, if you do, there will be a release of supernatural life. Amen. Honor me and you will receive supernatural life. So the honor of God will actually release honor, God's honor of you. That God will honor you in your workplace. He will honor you in your working life, in your family life. He will honor you with working in your prayers. If you honor him, he will honor you. What an amazing thing. And this comes out of, first of all, giving. You see, I believe we need to turn the Christian culture the right way up. Because, yes, we can only give because we've received. But once we've received, which we all have, the Holy Spirit, God says, give. And then you will receive. So in giving honor, we've got to go that way first rather than I want it myself first. Give honor to God and he will give honor to you. In giving, you receive. The Lord in the life of a believer is to be honored above all. If you're a believer, as I am today, the one to be honored above all is the Lord. Now, Jesus perfectly balanced this in terms of his walk with his family. Because God calls us to honor our families, but not above the will of God for us. And so one day when Jesus was preaching, and there were many people sitting around him, his mother and brothers came to try and rescue him because they thought he was going out of his mind and take him out back home. And Jesus actually said, actually, you know, my mother and my brothers are here, those who hear the word of God and do it. So he's redefining family. In that one context, he's saying, my family are those who honor God and do his will. That is God's plan for every family, is that he is honored first and then honor will come on your family. Put God first, just as Mark and Sarah today are saying, I will put God first. And as they live out that commitment on a day-by-day basis, because you can pray it and not live it. But as they live that honor of God out, God promises to honor their family. And so it must be God himself first that is honored. And if the Lord is in his temple, we are not here for us primarily. We're first of all here for God. And then out of his abundant grace and goodness, as we honor him, he blesses us more than we could ever bless him. But there is this flow of life from God's people towards him. Now it costs to honor. Turn to Hebrews. It costs to honor God. And at times you and I might shy away from paying a price because our flesh does not like to pay. I reckon the Oscars last week cost a bit of money as they honored their stars with red carpets and I don't know what else, goodie bags. There was a lot of money spent on honoring who the world says are stars. There was a lot of cost involved. There's a lot of cost involved to servicemen and women who are in Afghanistan today. And when they come home and Wilton Bassett's people stand out, I honor them. It's almost like they're standing there for us. Whatever you believe, I'm not talking about what's right or wrong, and we all got our own opinion there. But whatever you believe, sons have been lost. Husbands have been lost. And to stand there for the family actually honors the family. Imagine standing there as the one who's lost alone. But there's a comfort and encouragement by honoring together the sacrifice that somebody has paid with their life. Men and women have paid a huge price for us to live in freedom in this nation. There's been a cost. There's been a cost for us to believe in Jesus. If I think I could be moved to tears, well, previous generations paid for us to come in a place where we believe in healing. We are in an inheritance today that our Father has paid for. We honor our fathers spiritually because we are not just the up-and-coming generation. We are ones who've received an inheritance that we can then pass on to the next generation. We must live with a culture of honor. It has cost somebody something for you to be here today. And we honor that. Honoring God comes through our words, our actions, and our attitudes. And in Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, therefore, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess his name. Through Jesus, let us continually offer to God, offer to God. So there we are, continually offer to God. I don't know if you're playing a CD continually. Are you listening to it all the time? Okay, let's just unpack the word. To continually offer means it's ongoing. It's lifestyle praise. Let us offer, which means to give, a lifestyle of praise, which is the fruit not of our minds only, but our lips. Which means it comes out of your mouth. As somebody would say, your pie hole. Here. Where praise is continually flowing. And this scripture actually says it's a sacrifice. Has anybody here ever sacrificed praise and you felt absolutely terrible? What you've done is you've brought a sacrifice of praise. Has anybody here praised God when you didn't want to? Has anybody here been trained by the word of God and by godly leaders to raise hands when you didn't want to? To speak in tongues? To sing in the spirit? To prophesy? It's a sacrifice to praise him. It costs us something to speak well of God all day. Praise is not a flesh pleaser. It's not going to pacify and give your flesh a little dummy so you can sit down and feel comfortable. To praise the Lord continually is not going to please your flesh, but it will stir your spirit and will please God and will bring the honor of God and the supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit into your circumstances. Isaac, he was in the land where God told him to be. And there was water. Water was never far away. And it's never far away for you. The Holy Spirit's always available. But he had to start digging for it. And he began. I believe sometimes when we pray, we start to praise God. We start digging and it's like moving a rock that's difficult to move. It's like, I will praise you in every situation. I'm feeling rough. You may even be crying. Look, with you, I will bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me, I bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. He heals all my diseases. He crowns me with loving kindness and compassion. He forgives me all my sins. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. You found water. You started with rocks. But you knew that if you kept digging, life will come to the obedient who prays with a sacrifice. You see, if we're not people of conviction but of preference, we will do what we want when we want. But if we're convicted and convinced by this truth, that we are here to honor God no matter what with a sacrifice of praise, then the activity of the Spirit will do the work in our circumstances we can't work out. Our soul will be healed in 2 minutes when it would take 10 years of counseling. Depression leaves in praise. Melancholy breaks off your life when you praise him. Downheartedness is transformed into a light spirit when you praise the Lord at all times. It is the solution to rejoice in the Lord. Always, I feel no joy, but I will rejoice because I am a person of conviction. I will honor what God says. And in doing his word, I will believe the Holy Spirit will lift my soul to a point where I am satisfied because he has blessed my soul as I have blessed him. Those who go through the valley of Baca, a place of weeping, will make it a place of pools. Why? Because they start to dig for water. And they begin to release the Holy Spirit. And life begins to come to everything around. Not just to them, but everything around them lives. If you've got a praising person in an office somewhere where there's great darkness, life will come because you praise him. If you've got somebody in a hospital room where there is death all around, life will come because you praise him. The sacrifice of our lips, it costs us something to praise the Lord. To praise him. God has given us in his word how to. It's, for me, it makes him Lord when he tells us how. If we tell him how, it makes us boss. So his word has told us how. And that makes him Lord if we do it. Not just Lord in name, but in reality. And so the word says, clap. It doesn't say, wait till you feel an anointing and then begin to clap. It actually, one of the Psalms just breaks out, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Maybe when they were in defeat, they had to shout for victory. It's not a flesh pleaser to shout victory when you're all around you is defeated. I've done it and won eventually. Sing with a loud voice. Lift up your hands. I mean, it's the most basic requirement of worship. Everybody just do this. Okay, you can, you see. Be free. Do it again. It is for freedom. Christ has set us free. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Shout unto God. Clap. Dance. Rejoice. Sing with the Spirit. Sing with the understanding. Pray for the interpretation. Prophesy. Be an extrovert, because the new creation is. What I was before I got born again, I no longer am. And if a sacrifice, I had to, I was trained by the best, and his name is Pastor Colin Urquhart. I mean, the guy endures. He endures. I mean, he can keep going, singing in tongues for at least an hour. And I'm like, after 30 minutes, I mean, the guy can go. He can keep going. And he trained us to push in, to persevere, to go beyond the flesh, so that actually you get into a revelation of worship and you see the Lord, and you're not aware of anybody else, but God himself is being glorified as you give him your all in worship. There were times when I felt so tired. I felt so, doesn't he know how bad my week's been? And it, you know, these commands, lift up your hands. Do you know, if you're not willing to accept the leadership, anointed leadership, and do what God says, then actually it's like there's not an acceptance of the Holy Spirit. Because we're not telling you to do something that God hasn't already spoken. And I believe we need to come out of couch potato Christianity. I will bless the Lord. I will sing. I mean, it would have been embarrassing if you'd been in the car with me on the way in, the way I was singing. You would have been embarrassed, not me. I was praising God in a way that you actually, you see, it's in private, not just public. It's everywhere. I praise the Lord in my car. When I'm washing up, I sing. I sing in the shower. I actually sometimes have to stand up and praise him greatly with a shout of praise when I'm preparing for a sermon. It's like, oh Lord, I don't know what to do. Well, I'll praise you anyway. A sacrifice of praise. King David, one of the greatest men of God, really. Such a great man of God. He actually counted his army and sinned against the Lord. God gave him three choices. Do you want famine? Basically, judgment came because he sinned. This is old covenant. We're in a new covenant. The blood of Jesus has been shed for us so that judgment passes over. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood, for those who accept and believe and honor what Jesus has done. But the king, he actually was told by the prophet to go into, I think his name was Adonibab. I don't know. Look it up. 1 Samuel 24, I think. Onto the threshing floor. And God said to him, build an altar and present an offering. And he went to this guy who owned the threshing floor and he said, can I have the... This is the king going to a guy, a farmer probably, or a priest and a farmer. There he is on the threshing floor. He said, can I buy your threshing floor? And the guy says to the king, my lord, my king, you can have the threshing floor. I'll give you the animal for sacrifice. I'll get the fire for you. Please, you're the one. I honor you as the king in my midst. And King David said some of the most powerful words in the Old Testament about worship. He said, I will not give a sacrifice that costs me nothing. I will pay for my sacrifice. That's a man of honor. Just, it's integrity right there. And you know, sometimes, how can we translate that into today? Well, we've got our musicians and sound team, and we've got other people around us who are really going for it in praise. And maybe we're just saying, let them do it. They're looking like they're having a good time. And we should all in this room saying, I will not bring a sacrifice without it costing me. Honor the Lord in praise and worship. This is our first ministry to God. I am going to finish with this scripture in Mark 14. I know it's been quite long this morning. Are you okay? Yeah. Nearly there, nearly there. Just need to download this last scripture. I insist on paying in praise. You see, if we honor him, he will come in a way that we will be astounded. If we really pay a price in worship, God will move. And it is going to be an amazing release of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Mark 14 and verse 2. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table at the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume and made of pure nard. She broke the jar, poured out the perfume on his head. And some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, Jesus said. Why are you bothering her? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you won't always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. So this woman has been honored in every generation, and she is honored here today. So those who honor me, the Lord says, I will. It's kind of like an eternal book of honoring going on upstairs. He is not forgetting. The Lord sees the honor you give. And he responds. The woman brought this alabaster jar of perfume worth a year's salary. Now, what's the average year's salary? 15, 20, I don't know, 1,000, I don't know. Okay, a lot of money. Nobody wants to say what they're earning. A lot of money. 55,000. Let's go up. 60. Average. Would be good, wouldn't it? It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money from one person to give. And you try and think out in your life a year's salary given in one act of worship and devotion. Okay, what it would mean for your ongoing mortgage? What it would mean for your household to actually take the most expensive thing you've got and waste it, as some people said, on Jesus? I mean, it's massive money. And so probably a lot of us would have said, what on earth are they doing? That could have been spent on something more kind of user-friendly in my mind. Surely we could have helped people in Morocco or Burundi or some other nation. There was something we could have done with that. And God is saying, the most expensive you've got, I'll take. It's okay. I can deal with that. You'll always have enough to look after the poor. Because give and it will be given. Good measure, pressed down. But what was the lesson here? The woman gave a great sacrifice, but it made her rich. Honoring God will make you rich. I'm not talking money. I'm talking richness that money can't buy. When the honor of God is on your life, then things work, life works. If you honor God, he will honor you. And you will be the recipient of blessings, increase, peace, joy, the activity and life of miracles. Nothing is wasted. Worship and praise, nothing is wasted. When you praise him with all of your heart, in every circumstance, nothing is wasted. He sees it and he moves. Praise attracts God. Worship attracts God. And he moves and manifests his presence. If we could say that what that woman did was kind of outrageous, outrageous giving, I think some of us could do with breaking into that. Do we? Do we think we could do with breaking into that dimension of worship? Because if you break into a different dimension, you see a different release. And if worship becomes something that you know that you are duty almost bound to do, not because there's a lack of feeling in it. I believe there are times of feelings, but it is actually a choice. It's a conviction that you carry to honor God in giving praise, speaking well of him all day long, honoring his presence, that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're honoring God with your body. I believe a life of miracles is going to be released as we do this. And anyway, it's nothing in comparison to his gift of Jesus. I said it's nothing in comparison to his death on the cross for you and for me, so that we might have life. And so I was meditating on some of the words the great hymn writers have written, and maybe even today, some of the wonderful words that songwriters write in worship. Were the whole realm of nature mine, it were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Matchless King, you are worthy. And we bring our honor as we praise and worship him all day, every day. A sacrifice. And where there's sacrifice, fire comes. God always moves with fire, with power. Shall we stand together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044-1823-664-186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.